Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Binge Town TV and Buzz Town TV. We're here with the finale for season two of Yellow Jackets storytelling. And to set the scene, we're here where Binge Town TV was born, in Luke's basement, where we used to record every single episode. It's nice to be here. I'm coming off a Succession finale talk. So a lot of epic television this week. And I think we'll get into our thoughts on the finale. But for me, I mean, I freaking loved it. It was great. I think their last shred of humanity is now gone. It's going to be amazing moving forward. I'm sad that the writer's strike is going to push us a little bit. But before we dive in, just want to say, just because Yellow Jackets season two is ending doesn't mean that Binge Town is ending. You know, of course, if you're listening on Buzztown TV, go ahead and follow at Binge Town TV on everything, all socials. And then, of course, on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or wherever you listen, just so you could get up to date on what we're doing moving forward, because we want to keep hanging out and having fun. And we love all the YouTube comments and stuff. So stick with us. And of course, we'll be back for season three, but we'll have a lot of shenanigans in between that as well. Okay. So I also want to say I didn't write a episode synopsis because this was a busy weekend. So
No synopsis.
I'm just going to let the episode speak for itself. So I'll pass to the boys, whoever wants to start with their thoughts on the episode.
I'll jump in then, it sounds like. So I thought this episode was fantastic. Series finale as a whole, I thought was fantastic. It was very upsetting to go check out Reddit and Twitter and see that the community didn't seem to like it as much as us. So hopefully we don't turn off too many people by how much we potentially gush over this episode, because I know for me, again, I absolutely love this episode. I'm so happy with where we're at. And like Kathleen said, unfortunately with the writer's block, it might not be a while before we get season three. But until then, check us out. We're going to be covering Yellow Jackets constantly. I'm sure we'll be doing like season recaps with Jimmy and Kyle. So hang around for that. But fantastic season.
I thought it was great as well. I looked at IMDb and the episode is currently sitting at 7.4, which is tied for the lowest of the series between the two seasons. And it's probably going to drop a tiny bit more.
Wow.
But I still feel like 7.4 is good TV. I was also surprised that Twitter had such a weird reaction to it. And Reddit's pretty split right now every time I look. I thought it was good. I mean, you start an episode with the Cranberries. I'm automatically going to love it.
Yeah.
I think it set up some really good, interesting plots for season three, like Coach Ben versus the girls could be a whole thing. That's going to be really fun. Walter, we were dead on about him. He is on our team, and he was the freaking man. And I'm actually okay with the Cuse having survived this season, because he got some miserable comeuppance, and he's going to be around for some more of that. So I'm all about that. I'm really, really sad about Kevin, though. And we'll gush about all of our girls killing it in both probably 1996 and 2021. But it was a great episode. Sure, we'll have some nitpicks here and there, but overall, I'm pretty happy with season two. I'm not sure if I'm ready to say it was better or worse than season one. I got to think about it a little bit more.
Sure.
Maybe this conversation is going to decide it. But overall, like, I'm full steam ahead for season three. Cannot wait in 2029, maybe.
The Cuse gets his comeuppance for having the audacity to do his due diligence as a cop.
Whoa.
My gosh, he
that
gets
sentence.
His comeuppance. But no, looking at this finale, I have seen a little bit of the discourse. People have some complaints about it. I think it's either you like the direction they went with in the 2020s or you don't. I get it. It worked for me. I think they took a big swing killing off a beloved character. so much so that it overshadowed the fact that Kevin died too. I think it has everything that I crave in a finale. It's like actual edge of your seats, suspenseful moments. The stakes are high. People aren't protected by plot armor. And at no point in this did I feel like that was the case. I mean, Callie having the gun, I didn't know if she was going to take the Cuse out right then and there. Any direction they went with seemed plausible. Everything that happened at Lottie's compound, I think people are just like, it's a little implausible that all of these people arrived at the same time and everything went down the way it did. And then I think people are also saying, how did the cops just kind of like let everybody walk away from all that? I get it. I do. But at the end of the day, I really like this finale. Like I said, it has a lot of the things that I looked for. It was suspenseful, and I haven't seen much of any complaint about what's going on in the wilderness. So I think even the community loves what's going on there. I really like this finale. And like Luke said, I'm going to have to take a step back and probably just binge the entire season before I evaluate which season I like better as a whole. But most people are saying season one's way better. I don't think that's the case. I think it's a head-to-head comparison. You know, they're pretty close.
Yeah, I think there's always going to be an issue, right? When you kill off a main character, there's going to be people who are like, I fucking hate this. So there's always that. But like Brian said, the stakes are raised. It differentiates a good show from a great show to be able to kill off your main characters in a way that feels not, you know, cheap or whatever. I thought that was super satisfying. I'll miss Adult now. We'll just go there. Spoiler, I know we said a beloved character. We kind of redacted the name. I will miss Juliette Lewis. What a absolute, like, amazing performance and wacky performance. But do you want to jump into 1996?
After we give ourselves some credit, the three boys over here predicting Nat's untimely death.
Who'd I say?
I think you landed on either Van or Shauna.
That was stupid. Always going to be
Shauna. Drew the queen, so you weren't too far off. She drew the queen, so
hey,
it could happen.
Yeah, that's true. Also, Nat dying, we'll get there. Once I thought it through and after we talked about it and once she actually did, I'm like, obviously, like her storyline is the one that, where was she really going to go? They could have figured something out, but in general, where are they going to go?
And Travis, like she did, we explored the drug thing. Yeah. Like it's pretty much, we were there.
She had her redemption with Lisa. I feel like her and Lisa ended on a great note. So there was really not much left to explore with Nat's storyline.
Yeah. And I think that this whole thing just saved Van too. So
yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Totally.
You know what I just think is going to be so weird is they set it up for young Nat to be such a highlighted character in season three with how everything went down. And they're just not going to have the adult Nat counterpart to kind of bounce back and forth with. So that's just going to be really bizarre, just having the spotlight on young Nat.
Yeah.
You know who they will have prediction on the board is adult Ben.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Double adult. Ooh, okay. Old man Ben.
Yeah.
180 on what I thought was gonna happen with Ben, but
yeah,
the one thing I will bring up too is that we still had that quote that young Nat somehow saves all of them in 1996 or 1997, whatever year it is. We still have that quote from, I think it was earlier this season, so this definitely sets up Nat, young Nat, to be in a position for us to get that reveal of what she did to save everyone.
Yeah. And I'm still holding out hope that Juliette Lewis will make appearances in the season, just like we've gotten Jackie and just like we got Travis after he died. So we'll see. We'll see what they do. But for now, 1996 or seven, we'll call it 1997 for sure. Like Luke said, Zombie by the Cranberries, and in a show where they use these songs so iconically, this is the top of the list, right? We all watched together. It's a good thing to say, too. All of Binge on TV, all seven of us, and plus other people watched together. So we were hooting and hollering after the song played. But yeah, quickly, Nat walks up. It's in the aftermath of Javi. So she tells Travis is excited to see her. He's like, yeah, you did it. And then she's like, oh no, Javi on the stake like a delicious pig ready to be roasted. The wilderness chose. And this is all like very intense from here on out. The 1996 storyline is very intense. Everyone's getting super into this like voodoo stuff. They're like really leaning into the woo-woo. There's like almost nobody except honestly Lottie that is like, wait, pump the brakes, what is going on, which is crazy. So we could talk about that. So Misty goes to tell Lottie, and Lottie is concerned. And I think this is when we see in 2021, when Van and them are like, she's like this because of us. I think we always had thought Lottie was the ringmaster of everything and was the fully leading the charge of the craziness and of the cannibalism and stuff. But this makes it seem like Lottie's like, no, bro, stop it. Like, I didn't want that. What the hell? And she's giving away her title in this scene. Like, what do you guys think about young Lottie and like how she is now or whatever? Just how do you think about young Lottie right now in this turn?
I think that this episode changed my perspective on both versions of Lottie significantly. And I'll say that I think adult Lottie kind of fell a little bit in my rankings because she just gets painted as like crazy, basically. Yeah. But they're showing us here that that's not how it started, even though we did assume it was going to be crazy, possessed, French-speaking Lottie that's leading this charge of like craziness.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen like that at all. So I was actually pretty surprised. But at the same time, like Misty put her in her place kind of correctly. Like, you started a lot of this. Like, we wouldn't even be here. You even convinced the skeptics like Thaisa to jump on board. So it's weird seeing her get cold feet because I did not think they were going to go this way. Granted, she should be dead.
But it does kind of help play into what we've been discussing on this podcast of whether, like, we've always kind of assumed, is Lottie good? Is she bad? I think this kind of just proves that she's more of just a median. She's not chosen by anything. She is just the one at first who was able to communicate with the spirit.
Yeah.
She thought what she was communicating with the forest spirit, I think, was going to be beneficial to the group. But I think she's slowly realizing that this thing is a little bit more bloodthirsty than she had originally thought and is willing to sacrifice all of them. And so she herself is a little scared. So it does kind of, we have seen this dual personality from Lottie in the sense of, you know, is she with the Yellow Jackets? Is she with the forest spirit? You know, so this was a good clarification. I agree with Luke that this definitely changed my perspective of both young and old Lottie.
Mm-hmm. And shout out to the beginning, by the way, we kind of went over that opening scene of just how good Nat's, I thought Nat's acting was incredible. And even Travis slayed too. That whole beginning was amazing. Side note, go ahead, B-Toms.
Yeah, I was actually going to go back to that as well. Say what you will about Travis, this was a very strong showing for him, and he had to bring it for this episode. I think it was very earned, the emotions that he was showing us. Obviously, his brother just came back to camp on a stretcher, like completely pale as a ghost, and he really brought it. But yeah, Nat saying, just looking him in the eyes and saying, the wilderness chose. This Ooh. Is the last domino to fall. She was the one holding out against kind of the Lottie of it all, and I guess you could call it like cognitive dissonance. She has no choice but to believe in this, the wilderness chose, because otherwise she's a horrible human being for letting Javi die in the water. So now she's bought in, and obviously that opens the gates for how this episode will progress and she becomes the leader, yada, yada, yada. But I kind of agree with Misty and the whole young Lottie is correct to kind of go back and start to realize the error of her ways. But Misty's 100% right when she's like, you're the one that started all this, so don't start making everybody feel bad about it now, because it's going to save our lives. That was a great one-on-one scene. And then when Misty goes downstairs and starts just blatantly lying about what Lottie was saying about Javi, Lottie is very grateful. The wilderness chose the right person. Yes, the wilderness is pleased. She's just being like that conduit or whatever.
I agree with you that I thought it was interesting that Natalie was the one to say to Travis that, you know, the wilderness decided, because you're right, it was the last domino. She was the last one that it felt like wasn't on as board as everyone else. And I think it's interesting because it goes into what Shauna was saying at the very end of the episode. It was like, it never existed. This was all us. Like, is Natalie in that? It can be a red herring. That was Natalie in that moment using the wilderness as an excuse to make herself feel better about having just inadvertently killing another person, you know? So it doesn't set it up to be like, oh, it was definitely the wilderness that killed Javi. Like, it's still setting it up to be like, oh, Natalie might just be a terrible person because she chose herself over Javi, who she could have saved in the moment. So I just wanted to put that out there. I like that you brought that up, that Natalie specifically said the wilderness chose.
Yeah. So they go to get Javi, right? They kind of look around. They're like, all right, let's ride. Again, another good scene, Travis holding Javi, being upset. But Travis honestly relinquished him way easier than I thought and didn't put up such a fight. And Van looks him in the eye and is like, let him feed you, dude. He sacrificed, so let him save you, etc. But I was proud of Travis. Like, I feel like he's come a long way. Maybe he's just beaten down to his absolute bottom at this point, but he was so bratty the whole first season. He would have been such a crazy man about this. But Travis has to now eat his brother. So rightfully so. So they get Javi and they do this, like, you know, cutting him open, and she blindfolds herself and like finds her way to his neck. Just like she was going to blind herself for Nat. Seems like, will there be a point where she's like, I don't care, I'm not blindfolded anymore. Like right now she still has a shred of humanity. She doesn't want to watch herself do it. But maybe it's, I have just predicted at some point she's going to be like, fuck it, I'm good to watch. But I do want to just say, Javi didn't have many scene partners other than Travis. He obviously talked to people here and there, except Shauna. So this scene of Shauna like carving him up after he went to her, like wanting pages from her journal for his art and things like that, those two actually had scenes together. So just another layer of sadness having to watch her, you know, carve him up.
And that doesn't even speak to just Coach coming in around this time too, which that scene was,
yeesh,
holy shit, man. Like Nat and Coach, Dave was saying this when we were watching it, like their relationship is so interesting, and I love when it's on the screen. And this is another great part where Nat's finally distancing herself from Coach, because she's like, you are not like the rest of us, we are like terrible, you got to get out of here, basically. And he takes it to heart, like way to heart. But that whole scene was amazing. But yeah, I just love that Shauna is like the butcher of the group. I guess every time they just leave it up to her. And that just connects always back to the season one stuff with like the rabbit. Like those flashes mean more,
yes,
and more as we see more scenes of 1996, because you're just like, holy crap, like this is like, was her job in the forest. So
seeing the chunks of meat didn't bother me that much, which is weird. But then when I saw the spine, the severed spine, I was like, okay, that like is what woke me up, and like, this is fucked up. Like that's what Coach saw. It was so wild.
Well, the cool part about it was Ben was hype. He thought it was an animal.
Yeah, exactly.
He walked up to this gruesome scene and was like, let's fucking go. And then he saw the severed head and spine and was, yeah, like, oh shit. The Converse on the pile of clothes. He's, yeah, like, oh no. So I do believe that, especially after the end, that Ben is going to play a huge part in season three, finally. And my prediction is that we're going to get like a one-legged older man. Like we're not going to see his face. We're just going to see that he only has one leg next season.
Like
we're
hermit.
Gonna... Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm so ready for it. It's so funny how I think they did a perfect job at just leading us to believe that early on, like, okay, Ben Scott got his leg cut off. Like everyone and their mother is going to assume that Ben Scott's going to be the first to get eaten in the show. And I love how they've kind of deceived us and had him,
yeah,
play a little bit of a different role than we expected.
I'm just wondering, getting way ahead of the story, but when they get evacuated and rescued, how do the girls get rescued at the same time as Ben Scott? Or is there the possibility that he's just still out there surviving?
He's a hermit, baby. He's living out in the wilderness. That's what I think. He's just living out there.
I'm just wondering how that goes down, because at this moment in time, it feels like a reconciliation where he rejoins the group is damn near impossible. Also, the conversation between him and Nat felt very uncharacteristic of Natalie. It was like a complete warning. I almost thought that the wilderness was like giving this warning once again to Ben, like, you are a good man, we are horrible people, some shit's gonna go down, you gotta leave.
Yeah.
It goes back into the he's not ready conversation. Like we still don't know what that means when we were seeing Ben Scott talking to a fake image of his boyfriend and everything. So yeah, I mean, it could tie into that, absolutely.
Well, we quickly get a scene of him, which is foreshadowing, you know, attempting to make fire with rocks. Just a quick little thing in Javi's hideout, foreshadowing his little pyromaniac moment later down the road. But we'll get to that at the end. Quick Travis and Van scene, like I said. Van is so scary these days in 1997.
Oh my God.
I'm honestly not a fan anymore. I'm not a fan.
Hey, she's scary in the 20s, too, yeah, this episode.
She is. Agreed. Let your brother save you, whatever. But Travis having to eat his little brother and then chomp it on the heart. I mean, open the floor.
Another complaint that a lot of people had is like, how, like, why would Travis know or want to eat a raw heart and just kind of throw it on the skillet? I think that I don't have a problem with it. I just feel like this supernatural stuff they've been doing has just been slowly coming more naturally to them, if that's the word you want to call it. Like, yeah, I think it's just the longer they've spent there, the more they're just getting ideas of what they can do to be superstitious. I don't know.
Was there anything deeper to that? Like, I had no idea. Like, was that connected to the bear heart?
I'm sure it was connected to the bear heart in some way. I just don't know what it is. Like, I think people, like, I think it's a thing in movies where sometimes like people will just like eat the, like cannibals like eat hearts and shows and stuff. I feel like
sure, they cook it, but like I don't get the raw heart bite. Was it symbolic?
It was
maybe
it
symbolic.
Was symbolic.
Of him.
Absolutely. It was just like,
I'm absorbing my brother.
It was what it was. Yeah. Like, I kind of get it. It's weird. But if you're out there for months on end, Lottie's obviously stressed the importance of like sacrificial hearts. And before you fried up on a skillet, like get that raw power out of the heart.
Yeah. I
also
agree.
I like, kind of want to pat myself on the back because I said Travis has been like buying into the wilderness for a while now, so I think that explains why he kind of rolled over so easily and just gave the body to him. Like, I kind of predicted he was going to be pretty cool with what's going on.
Do you remember, I think Kathleen, you brought it up earlier this season, and I think it was a season one thing where it goes back to Natalie saying that Travis never bought into this stuff. Like, why did the writers just forget that they had a whole 1996 plan for him?
Or,
because he is so in that it's like, where did that line come from?
I mean, it could just be, I would say, before Nat getting anointed queen, I would say it's just Nat in denial, right? And there is scenes in this season where they're like, do you remember everything?
Yeah.
Seems like they're kind of fuzzy. And I think Nat wanted to believe that Travis didn't. And maybe by the end of it, they don't. Maybe by the end of it, they're like, we got to get the fuck out of here. This is all crazy. So maybe it's something we haven't seen yet, but I agree. It doesn't quite match up now.
Yeah. Right. Either way, this season has been amazing for Travis as a character compared to how I felt going into season two. I was such a hater. I think he's a great addition now, and his acting got to show off a lot more for this season. So
agreed.
Yeah. See how that goes in season three.
Him and Van probably have had it the rough so far in the 1997. Van has faced death a couple times, and then Travis has lost both his father and his younger brother.
Yeah, well, Shauna too. Shauna lost Jackie.
Okay, and a baby. Yeah, true. So those three are definitely, and they are probably the most, they were at least probably, the, well, Nat and Shauna were probably the most unstable in the present time.
Yeah, agreed. But quickly into this Lottie stuff. So Lottie gets her meal too. She's hesitating, of course. She does this little monologue about how she says she thought it wanted what was best for the girls, but now she's not sure. She's having doubts. Then she comes down and interrupts Van's speech, and they're begging Van to do like Sleepless in Seattle or whatever story times. And that, which is great for her, what she owns as an adult. It's great. But she again is being creepy instead and tells a story about the wilderness and the house and how it built this house, which is honestly, I loved it, especially after it burned down. But this is a narration of when Ben steals the matches in the rope. I cannot believe he ropes them in. We'll get into it, but he ropes those bitches in that place. That's why they couldn't get out.
We're going to get into it. You know what they say about assuming things. It makes an ass out of you and me, Kathleen.
What
That's
was
Coach
I assuming?
Ben, that he burned down the cabin and roped them in. That seems pretty evil of him, but we're going to get there. Relax, everybody. Just relax.
That is a conversation I've been seeing. Like, is it just purposeful red herring or not? But
first off, I thought it was pretty cool how Van was telling this story about the wilderness, because that's probably early stages of religion. Like, if she's believing in this wilderness entity mumbo jumbo, she just starts telling a story about how this lovely wilderness built the cabin to save the girls. Yeah. And then she's rudely cut off by Lottie, who's just like, conversational left turn. I never wanted to be the leader. Van's like, okay, you can have the floor, Lottie. I wasn't telling a story. I was pretty captivated. I wanted to hear the end of that wilderness story.
Me too.
Yeah, I thought for Lottie to just come in, I was so on the edge of my seat, ready for this story. And then Lottie's just like, I didn't want this. And I'm just like, I laughed out loud. I was like, that's kind of like a little ridiculous of a line right there to just cut Van's important story off to just say, I didn't want this. Like, whatever.
That said, what Lottie's talking about, and Dave, you brought it up earlier, I kind of buy into it, how she was like, I used to think it chose me for like some greater purpose, but I literally think it's the only reason is I was the only one that knew how to listen in the beginning. Now we can all hear it. Like, it's obvious we're full on cannibalism, so it doesn't need me anymore. Like, specifically, though, what was her detail that suggests that it was Nat was the de facto choice? Just that she got protected from the draw and like the wilderness selected Javi in her stead? Like, I'm not sure how she drew that conclusion.
No, I think that's pretty much what they were getting at, was that also, there was some supernatural intervention that basically saved the sacrifice that they thought that they were going to go to. So this is what the forest wants. And I think it makes sense.
Kiss the hand.
And I also think for Nat to be been chosen to go a little bit further, you know, we know that Lottie has visions of the future, whether that's, I guess, immediate future or future. She could have seen, you know, the future events of Nat, you know, trying to kill herself. But then in the future, we found out that the wilderness kind of saved her attempts at suicide and all that stuff. So maybe she was seeing not just her being saved in the 1997 timeline, but also in the future of her, the wilderness protecting her from the suicide and all that stuff. And so maybe she's like, okay, the wilderness wants to keep Natalie alive. She's probably the one that is chosen by the wilderness.
And that was such a weird scene because, okay, you're saying she's chosen, now everyone's buying in that she is now the de facto leader of the Yellow Jackets. What were you guys getting from her facial expressions? Because she was crying and she was laughing and smiling. And then, like, was she like just taking it all in and not really knowing how to react? Or was she happy that she was picked?
I feel like she's happy she's picked because I think in her mind, that guarantees her life. Like, I think in her mind, she is now never going to die. Like, people are going to sacrifice themselves for her. And I think it might have been a greedy smile, like, I'm going to live. That's what I took it as, I guess.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. That's how I took it.
I also think Nat has never really been chosen for anything ever. So, yeah. Like, she's had such a shitty childhood. She's an outcast. You know, I think that she was probably like, okay. And
it's like her misty moment of, like, yeah, acceptance.
And her and Ben literally were talking, like, in the last episode, Ben was like, you don't think, like, you're a little bit jealous of Lottie? And so here in this episode, we see Nat take Lottie's spot. And now she's kind of happy about it. So maybe Ben was right in that she was a little bit jealous that Lottie got like all this attention and worship.
She also fancies herself a better leader than Lottie. Like, she's been very vocal about how she explicitly disagrees with a lot of Lottie's choices previously. So she's probably excited at the opportunity to not be like a crazy mystical leader. But she's handed a shit hand.
Yeah.
When the cabin burns down, everyone's going to be looking to the leader.
You know who's not next, happy coach? Is Shauna. And Luke wanted it. Luke asked for it. Ask and you shall receive. He won it. Since the notebooks are such a big storyline in season one and Jeff reading them and Adam Martin and blah, blah, blah. It was nice. We got a scene with Shauna writing in the notebook and she's just writing like, I thought it was Jackie that always made me feel inferior. But then blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden smoke. And you're right. It's not probably not Ben Scott now that I'm thinking about it. But I mean, if flip a coin, it's 50-50 wilderness or Ben Scott. But now that I'm thinking really deeply thinking about it, yeah, why the fuck would Ben be like, OK, I'm mad at these girls because they're killing each other. So I'm going to kill all of them.
Yeah,
the show is the king of red herrings. And plus, yeah. I mean, Laura Lee's bear in the plane.
What's her name?
Anna Lee, Annal for short.
It's a Family Guy joke.
Yeah. But Laura Lee, her bear did spontaneously combust in the plane. So what? I don't know why the wilderness would want to spontaneously combust the house for them. Like, that definitely puts all of them in a worse situation. Maybe it wants to do that because it knows that now that they don't have the cabin, maybe it'll force them to make more sacrifices. But I truly believe that it wasn't Ben Scott that did. I think it's just another red herring that the show is giving us.
And I also, how would it even come up like that it was Ben if it was Ben? Like, how would they figure that out?
Unless he's still alive, they find him, you know, one-legged sage hermit, and it somehow gets out that, like, I did it, you know? But that's a stretch.
They're immediately going to blame him if he's the only missing from camp. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say that I just want to really quickly say they could also blame Natalie, like, oh, we just chose Natalie as the leader and now we're getting a sign from the wilderness that it just burned our house down. Maybe Lottie was wrong. This is me kind of trying to branch out a little bit and see, but I could see it that the girls take it as shit. Maybe we chose the wrong leader. We need a new leader and it's not going to be Natalie anymore. That's just something I also had thought in the moment. I don't think that's true necessarily. It's just something I wanted to put out there.
Just in general, this house was the last shred of their humanity, right? It's the only normalcy they had in the entire wilderness. They were starving and all of this. They're killing each other and eating each other, but at least they have a roof over their heads, which they now do not. So I don't know if they're going to flee to the back to the plane.
Back to the plane.
But they're not near the water. That's 5 miles that way. They're not near the water. But right now there is no water because it's frozen over anyway, but it's spring is coming. We know that to be true. It just has to. It's been months and months. Shauna had this baby. Jackie froze to death months ago.
They basically need to survive a couple more months to spring, but it's going to be a rough couple months without that house.
Right. And so, well, two things funny. One, when we all were watching together, someone was like, well, I guess you still sleep close to the house, right? Because you need to stay warm. But then two, the shot of the house on fire pulled back. Obviously, we don't see any towns or anything, but it made us be like, yes, this is a good thing. I mean, obviously, it doesn't get them rescued now, but they should have been doing signal fires this whole time. They weren't really attempting to get saved ever.
Burn a tree every day. Just yeah. Something.
Burn an acre of trees yeah. every day. Someone's going to notice, hey, why is there nothing going on in this giant patch of just untamed wilderness in the Pacific Northwest?
I'm going to play
a soccer team down there.
I'll play devil's advocate and just say, how long? I just want to ask this first and then I'll get into my idea, I guess. How long were they at the cabin before winter actually started? Do we have any idea? Mm-hmm. Maybe they didn't find the matches. Winter hits. How are you going to start a fire in the dead of winter with all that snow? I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Sure. Makes sense.
I completely agree that if they had found the matches at the house, whoops, just like flick one right in the woods and just let it all roast. But
I'll say
that the snow probably was a big factor in them not being able to catch fire on anything.
Who knows if the wilderness would even let them light it on fire?
True. The snow could have just smothered it. Something.
Yeah. Spooky wind.
Yeah,
spooky wind. All right. Whoa. Final thoughts on 1996. Hit it.
I don't know where this is going to go, to be honest. Like, do we think Natalie's going to be the antler queen all the way through their timeline until they get rescued? Or do we think at some point it's going to get shifted like it had from Lottie to Natalie?
We know that they do this ritual with the cards often. Obviously, food doesn't come enough for them to be fed. We know that at least one person has refused to draw, which turns them into a victim, which we learn in the 2021 timeline. We know that you can run, or we know that you could give in. So there's going to be, I would guess, three or four more.
Five. We have five rando characters and five opportunities.
There's rumors that it's like whoever's in the garb with all the hair on it is who's getting sacrificed. Like, there's a lot of like weird things. But either way, it's going to be amazing. It's going to feel different because it's fully feral now. There is no house. They're going to be in these like weird masks and shit all the time. We know when we see the girls of 2021 in the mask, it's epic. And I can't wait for them to get in full garb, just wacky wilderness garb. So it's going to be lit no matter what. And I'm glad there's a change.
Yeah. Happening. Like Luke said at the beginning, I'm really hyped for the Coach Ben Scott storyline next season. I'm really hyped to see how Natalie responds to being the antler queen right now, because it never felt like she was going to be the antler queen. I feel like none of us had hypothesized her being the antler queen. So just very interested to see the 1996 storyline is always just undefeated. So that's the one I'm most looking forward to.
It felt like last episode was more of the 1996 centered climax, I would say. And this is, burning of the cabin's a huge moment, don't get me wrong, but this was definitely a 2021 centric episode, as it kind of needed to be. But yeah, I'm re-emphasizing again, Coach Ben versus the girls, like Home Alone style, where he's like setting up traps. That'd be lit. But also taking the opportunity now to say, I cannot believe how much I forgot, like how different Natalie looks. When you see her with those bangs, oh my God, that was like such a crazy just flash for me. I was like, I don't remember her looking like that at all.
Yeah, like when she sees Misty,
like
later
on the plane, when old Nat's like on the plane and she like looks to her left and it's young Nat.
Oh, yes, yes,
and she's got like the bangs. I was like, holy shit, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. So current day, we open at the close. Lottie is wanting them to drink poison. It's Colt Town, right? Sean is going with it, and all the girls are first like, dude, what are you doing? And then she's just doing it to buy them time. It's a funny scene, definitely like quirky. But the biggest thing here is Shauna's like, oh, we got to do what we used to. We got to give it a hunt. And Lottie is like borderline orgasmic this entire episode. So fucking excited and hyped. She's like, yes.
Yeah.
Like a cracked out little kid on just like 18 things of what are those, like sugar tubes?
Sugar sticks.
Yeah.
Pixie sticks.
Yeah. She's absolutely out of her mind. A few things here. Lottie, make sure your people aren't around. She's loving it. And then they talk about having her committed again. Van is immediately kind of like, well, it's not all about our mental illness. Like, we all went through it too. But for now, the plan is call the psych people to come get her. For now, we'll play along. Now, I have some issues as we move forward with what Ty and Van's actual plan were as they canceled it. But we'll get there when we get there. But
because they off screened like the part that mattered and they showed us the stupid part. Like, that was really dumb.
Like, how were they looking to solve all of that if not one of them actually dying? You know, there was no Van and Ty plan. The plan was we can help her. It, like, she looks at Ty and is like, would it help you to just go to the psych ward? No, we have to help her.
Look, to me, that reads as Van didn't give a fuck what actually happened and went down that night. And Thaisa was so unstable that she was just listening to what Van was preaching. Van was like, I don't care if someone dies tonight. But she also was a little bit correct in being like, this is not full on like a girl having a mental illness. Like, we can't just pretend there's nothing bigger going on here. But yeah, Luke, what do you mean they showed us the part that didn't matter? Didn't like, you wish we got the phone call where they actually call the psych team and we request them?
No, they call the psych team, and then later, that's the only conversation we see, right? And then later they say, no, we canceled it. Like, why did they not show?
No. They didn't show them calling the psych team initially.
Yeah.
We got Ty and Van calling them off.
Okay.
Ty and Van used the landline to say, hey, we called earlier. We don't need you anymore. We were able to talk her off the ledge.
Yes.
That's the part I missed. I knew. Yep. Okay. Got it.
Right. So it's when the girls are making the scary masks and stuff. This is where we see Van and Ty. So they had already made the call, but Van is talking Ty down from being like, we need to call off the troops. Like, we shouldn't do this. But my issue lies with, okay, well, then what was your plan? Because Nat literally died. So how are you going to stop someone from dying? But Brian or whoever just said Van didn't really care if one died or not.
So, like, that's what I agree with. If Callie didn't come in and stop the hunt right there, I think Van was okay just proceeding with the hunt. Sean is dead. We're all kosher with that. And then Lisa came in and, like, we'll get there when we get there. But right now, that's all I need to say. I think Van was kind of okay with whatever happened.
Totally was. She was ready to kill, and Thaisa was just following her. I almost want to say, like, I guess Misty and Nat weren't down to kill Shauna, but the other two, like, the other three, 100% were, like, going to do it.
We get the montage of Shauna dulling the blades. Yep. So, like, Shauna was like, even if things do progress, psych team doesn't make it in time, like, I want to have some contingency plan so no one gets hurt, but, you know.
So, quickly, Misty, because she's a medical professional, in case you're wondering, sneaks into Lottie's office, checks her pills, get the doctor's name, steals back her phone, and then the man, the myth, the legend, Walter, comes in, and all hilarity ensues with Walter. And then, of course, you said, like you said, Shauna's selling knives, Nat's making the queen card, and just in general, it's probably purposeful because you see the, like, rivalry building between Nat and Sean in 1997. But this was weird vibes to me, probably because Nat was, like, chosen as a leader when they were young. And, like, this scene where they're making knives and making the queen felt like weird vibes to me. I just wanted to note it because it's probably that rivalry that they've always felt. I'd have to go back and rewatch and see if that is there at all through the two seasons or just this episode because they're, like, introducing the rivalry. But we'll see, I guess. So, Lisa, Nat, in her one moment of niceness, like, ultimately leads to her downfall, right? Her kindness kind of got her killed in this point. She tells Lisa, leave while you can, go get a life. And I appreciate you trying to teach me forgiveness. It's a nice idea. And this was kind of like Nat's, like, swan song goodbye monologue, really. It wasn't huge, but it was something. Nat's obviously been struggling for so long, and so she was really trying to protect Lisa and get her out of this crazy cycle that Nat's been in for so long, and this is obviously not a good place to be. Lottie's losing her mind, but ultimately this leads to Lisa being like, oh, I should get out of here, maybe I should just, like, snoop on them instead, which leads her right to them.
So, two things. One, if you think about it, like, that first conversation in the beginning of the 2021 timeline for this episode, when they're like, Lottie, go make sure your people aren't around, fails at that, which causes Nat to directly die because Lisa's her people. But either way, I asked the question, like, four or five times throughout season two's coverage about, like, where is Lisa's storyline going? And to think that the whole plan was to eventually lead to Nat dying blew my mind. I never thought we would get here in this way. And I'm curious if you guys think that Lisa's even going to be in season three, or is it unnecessary because the cult compound's probably, like, backseat now?
I don't know.
That's a good point. I'd never really thought what happens with the cult now that Lottie's admitted.
Mm-hmm. I think Lisa will come back. I'll leave it at that. I don't know about the
other.
She
was the most connected to Nat, and, like, Nat's gone.
Yeah. She's been so introduced with us, and, like, her, like, even though Nat is now dead, like, that relationship is still going to be there. And, you know, I just feel like it would be so weird if they didn't bring Lisa back.
She's still very loyal to Lottie, so maybe that's how Lottie gets out of the hospital, whatever.
Well, I don't know if she'll be loyal to Lottie anymore, because didn't she say she was like, I don't know who she was talking to, though. She said, you've killed people. Was she talking to Nat when she was holding the gun, or was she talking to Lottie?
Nat.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so then she's probably
still pretty loyal to Lottie, because she was about to kill Nat to protect Lottie.
I thought she was saying, you've killed people, like, talking to Lottie, like, you've killed people, and that's why I thought the loyalty would have shifted, but you're right. I think she was talking to Natalie, so her loyalty with Lottie's still there.
Let's get to the humorous part. So this is the Jeff and Callie show, and they're in the car, and they're like, we won't be able to Google ourselves anymore, Callie, and she's like, do you do that often? Like, what the hell? And they're talking about disappearing, of course, because they're so worried about Shauna and this Adam Martin stuff. But of course, Jeff just tells this stupid, like, the lie about the gun leads Callie right to the gun, which she carries all episode. It's so funny. But
it's in a safe place, Callie. Don't worry about it. And he literally looks at the glove box, I'm pretty sure, as he says that line. She just knows.
But yeah, Kevin and the Qs are following and behind them right at the entrance. So
we ever referred to them as a pair as Kevin and the Qs? Because that's like a sitcom that I would watch.
I think of a band.
Kevin and the Qs, baby. Well,
can't use it anymore.
I know.
God, I knew this was going to happen. I knew Kevin was going to die because of this shit. I just never thought there was a situation where only Kevin died. Like, I couldn't.
It should have been the Qs. It should have been him.
I'm just going to say, I thought this wrapped up really well, except I'm just choosing to trust that Walter can finagle all this stuff, and like, we're like, okay, signed, sealed, delivered, everything's tight, we're good. We're putting a lot of trust in that, but we'll get there. But I honestly was like really thrilled with how this ended. I was pumped.
I'm pretty confident with Walter's ability to cover up. I think the only reason like Misty's attempt at covering up Adam Martin's body didn't go well is because the others also had to contribute in getting rid of the body. And I think if Misty alone had to get rid of that body, they're safe. And I think Walter's the same way. Like, I think Walter's put them in a position that I feel totally confident in his plan and anything going forward that he does.
Nat didn't dig far enough. 6 feet.
Yeah,
exactly. Come on, girl.
I didn't have a tape measure, Misty.
Standard 6 feet. Okay, so Walter and Kevin, icons, legends. Walter is playing dumb. He's cooking up some phenobarbital cocoa. It's amazing. We knew he was getting poison. We were like, poison, as soon as he handed him the cup. They're bonding over being detectives. It's great. And then Jeff barges in, sends Callie away, barges in, confesses to everything. And thank God Kevin just eats it, because we were all like, no, Jeff, stop it. Like, what is good is this going to do? Yeah. But this is the sitcom, really. Walter and Jeff is insane.
I love Jeff, man. I feel like that was just such a beautiful moment. Like, he shouldn't have to do that, but because he just feels like he's such a good guy and he just wants everything to be good for everyone else around him, he was willing to just throw it all on the line and lock himself away for the rest of his life without seeing Shauna or Callie ever again. And he was just amazing, and it was just so funny. I was so hyped when Kevin fainted. Not hype because, yes, we all loved Kevin, but at the same time, I was hyped because that's just one less loose end we have to worry about. And then Walter coming in being like, Jeffrey. And he's like, does anyone call you Jeffrey? And he's like, only my mom. No, she doesn't. And then you got to get rid of the body. Like, it was just it was a back and forth that I never thought was going to happen. And I'm so glad that we got it, because it's just, Walter is crazy. Jeff is so innocent. That duality is just, it's so perfect for this. Mm-hmm.
And if you caught it, they were talking about Jessica Roberts as soon as Jeff walked in.
Yeah.
And then they talk about Jessica Roberts again when Walter frames her death.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Death? Mm-hmm. Death?
Death?
Tom's death?
Death?
Is Jessica Roberts fucking dead, or is she still...
99.9.
That's also getting pinned onto...
Show us a body.
Kevin, right? Like, everything was pinned onto Kevin.
Kevin, yeah.
Yeah, so that's super sad, because I was just watching it the second time. Like, it hit again. Like, he had no way of expecting that he was just about to die. Like, we always said he was doing his job. It's just sad because I liked Kevin.
He's also gonna die a disgraced cop too. Yeah. If they pin all this on him, which is horrible.
Yeah. Is it kind of cute that Nat and Kevin died in this episode?
I was gonna say Nat would have hated this.
Oh yeah.
We're lucky we don't have to see Nat freak the fuck out over this. She would not be cool.
Well, she's gonna be freaking out in heaven when they see each other, but they're gonna have happy lives in heaven, I hope.
The American family is crumbling, Callie. You try making a living in sectional. But yeah, he's like, beautiful false confession. I could tell it really came from real love. Want to help me move this body? It's perfect. He's a perfect cast for Misty's love interest. Absolutely. No kisses, but a good hug. We got
good hugs. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a kiss next season. Mm-hmm. Okay. Quick Callie scene. She runs off, bumps into the Q's, and we were like, oh, he's dead.
I cannot believe I wanted that so badly. That would have been perfect for me. I don't even care about pinning everything, like making him be guilty and stuff.
That would have thrown a wrench in Walter's plan for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but Walter stops it by the phone trick, you know, that like, mm-hmm. What the fuck you doing?
Shauna Sadecki, what are you doing?
Throws his phone in the trunk with his dead body, which is so, he just like chucks it at him, shuts it. Then when the Q's comes, finds the trunk, opens it, and Walter swiftly steals the gun and pop, pop, pop. Three good ones.
It's so funny how clumsily he just like runs up. Yeah. He's just like booking it to the Q's, pulls his gun out.
I was the Q's, I would look this guy head to toe and be like, I cannot believe he just got the better of me like that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. How he sprints up, just grabs it.
And how he just like the gun firing, like you could tell he just had never handled a gun because it was literally just like his arm was like getting just like flying all over the place.
Jeff was there in the forest too, watching it all go down, making sure it all went as Walter explained it was going to go. And it everything was according to plan. So aside from the untimely death of Nat, like this was perfect for the whole squad.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think the Q's is obviously going to have to come back at some point. So I'm just curious in how he's going to work around him taking all this fake credit for this fake scam and then, you know, coming back for our Yellow Jackets. You guys agree, right? Like he has to come back. Like this isn't the end of him.
100%.
It's going to be a revenge tour for him, which is going to be weird.
Absolutely.
This is going to end up to his death
in the first half of the season. And then we'll probably deal with him at the end.
Totally going to end to his death. I still think Hughes at some point is just going to die.
How about this? Who lives longer, Coach Ben or the Q's?
Coach Ben.
Like in their respective time.
Like in the seasons, like that's when they die, like who survives longer.
Coach Ben is endgame villain.
Yeah. I don't hate that.
Wow.
For Thanos, baby.
I don't hate that. I would say, yeah. It's so wild how far we've come from thinking Coach Ben was going to die like episode 5 of season 1 to now being like, he's going to last longer than some of these characters in season 2. So I'll say Coach Ben.
So does that mean that our main bad guy in 2021 is either the Q's or Lottie if she gets out and was like vengeful? Like I feel like if you kill the Q's early, like who is going to be
be a villain? Like she's been fucking wild in 2021.
Van is a villain.
She could be. Yeah.
We'll see though. I have no idea. I just feel like her feralness yeah, is just really coming out. So who knows?
Mm-hmm. Guys, are we ready?
We are ready. And
magic
I'd like to shuffle
is afoot. God is alive. Magic is afoot. God is alive. I mean, if dude Lottie just like freaking out in her gold duster to this song, I was like, oh, the vibes are crazy. I am in.
At first, we all thought it was like that was what Lottie was thinking. We thought she was hearing those voices, and then it ended up just being the song. And I mean, the song did fit the little like scenes that were going over, but it was just, I hated it. It was so
It's an objectively good song. I've been listening to it on repeat.
Sounds like some Yoko Ono shit. I don't know.
So we get there and Sean is like, hey, can I shuffle those some more? And is stalling, which honestly, again, ultimately decided her fate. She's the one who shuffled them and she picked the queen. Or did the wilderness choose? Would it have been her no matter what?
You could also argue Van chose, because if Van had not said stop shuffling, she would have kept shuffling and then maybe not gotten drawn the queen. So yeah, another point of Lottie just showing that she's kind of into this. Like the fact that all the other girls knew that Shauna was trying to buy time with just shuffling the cards even more. And Van was like, okay, Shauna, that's enough. Like, let's get to the ritual.
She's like, I'll go first, too. Yes. Yeah. We were sitting there saying on the couch, like, we know how to trick shuffle. We're sitting there with the train from the bottom. You know exactly where it is when you do this.
I thought it was so tough how every time Lottie drew a card, she didn't even look at it. She just like flashed Thaisa. It. Or Thaisa, sorry. Yeah. Every time Thaisa drew a card, she didn't even look at it. Just flashed it to everyone. She knew.
So I have a theory on Thaisa. Remember how she kind of rebuffs Van and that prompts Lottie to say, Thaisa, are you refusing the draw? I think a flip switches and she turns into Lady in the Tree. And that's why she's so just like,
wow,
no emotions from then on out.
Because Thaisa did have some looks on her where when they put on the mask, Thaisa looked like to me that she was committed to the bit.
I also don't think Thaisa would have been full in for the hunt if she didn't give control over to Lady in the Tree. So that's just something I'm thinking.
My thoughts on it were, I thought that the moment the Queen of Hearts was drawn by Shauna, that all of the girls, maybe not possessed is the right word, but no longer were them their normal selves. And that's like seeing the Queen kind of triggered their animal instincts. And then that's when the plan kind of went to shit. It was the moment that Shauna drew it. But again, there's really no way to tell because we can all agree at least that all the girls were definitely going to kill Shauna had Callie not stepped in.
So, I mean, you pointed it out, Kathleen. I love the refusing of the draw line that happens right around here. So how about this? Another just random board shot right here. Who would you think is the person that would you say?
Aquila.
Aquila refuses the draw.
Sorry, I didn't get the question.
Just who's going to refuse the draw in the past?
Right.
Oh.
I don't think it's Mari. Never mind. Mari would never refuse the draw. I think
Mari's going to be an antler queen at some point. No. Aquila probably Jen. It's going to be one of the five randoms.
That's maybe Shauna.
I was thinking Shauna.
I say Aquila only because seems like the one who's still holding on to her like moral compass or humanity. She's been painted as a very like kind soul, you know what I mean? So I feel like she might put her foot down and be like, I'm not doing this. This is insane. And it's going to ultimately lead to her demise.
Does she still have that dead rat, right? She never ate it. She's still pocketing that thing.
Who knows?
Oh, it's coming back into play for her. It's going to come in Nugget.
Where is Steve?
Yeah, Jesus. Come on. We want Steve. He was my MVP in episode 4, whatever it was.
So the cross cutting of them drawing to them as adults and as children. Can you imagine being here again? They had to do this to save their lives. Absolutely petrifying. Every time you draw a card, it could be your death. And now they are 25 years later doing the same fucking stuff. It is so devastating. And the shot of them cross cutting was genius because it just reminds you like, damn, this is just a never ending cycle. Like it's never going to end.
Submit or run.
And Shauna says, you know, there is no it, right? And Lottie just goes, is there a difference? Like,
she's like,
just
time out.
Yeah.
She gets picked.
Yeah.
Like, there's no it.
Yeah. It was just us.
I feel like that's an important line. I guess it's just, again, the directors and showrunners trying to just like make us question whether what they're seeing is real or if it's just them, you know? So it really does. These kinds of lines are important, I think, for the story as a whole to keep the mystery behind it.
Right. If you kind of highlight it right when she draws it, just how they go to the masks, it was just so unsettling how like their emotions drop and some switches flipped where they just go feral for that at least one second when they put on the masks.
When you think about it too, when Nat drew the Queen in 1997, like they immediately all like they were doing the whole like, you know, Van grabbed the spear. They're all like chanting. They're doing their like their animal cries and everything. So maybe it's just something with the Queen that if they see it, it triggers something in them.
So Callie shoots Lottie. Just goes right in.
Sure does.
This is another issue I have. What did they say about Lottie having a gunshot wound?
Yeah.
You know, that's another kind of plot hole. You can't just have a gunshot wound. That is immediate police investigation on a gunshot wound. It just is. So Lottie's mesmerized by Callie, and this is really interesting, right? She's like, she's so powerful, you know. And even at the end, when Callie is looking at Lottie and has this kind of smile on her face, honestly, Sean is then looking at her being like, oh fuck, like what is happening?
It takes me back to when Shauna was pregnant back in the day, when Lottie was so obsessed with Shauna's original baby, and now she's falling for Shauna's second baby, which I don't know what the connection will be, but it was definitely creepy to see Lottie like look at her and be like, you are powerful. So Callie's going to have a huge part coming up soon. And I don't know what it's going to be, but.
And I'm not saying I buy the whole Callie is pit girl or hung up girl.
Yeah.
But this doesn't not.
It almost makes it that. It almost makes it a little bit more valid to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like
by like a percent, like a small percent.
I'm still out on that theory, but this is a seed as planet.
Definitely.
Yeah, and so this is where we find out they called off the psych team. Lottie, at the same time, is like, it's here. It's with us right now. Can't you feel it? And Nat, she yells at Nat and says, you were always its favorite. And then Nat freaks out. And this is when Lisa comes in, hot as fuck on the scene. And Missy pulls out the syringe. And, you know, Nat didn't want to see one more person die on her account or watch someone else die that she cares for, and jumps in front. And she gets our girl, right? Right here, baby.
Yeah, I love this change from Natalie, or at least like the sacrifice that she put in, because you're absolutely right. You know, the guilt of Javi, we even see it in her NDE as she's dying. Like that guilt of having her watch Javi die just ate at her for all these years. And she was just so sick. And I'm sure when she was the Antler Queen, maybe there's a couple other people that were eaten, you know, on for her sake and all this stuff. So I think all of that culmination, just it was a great sacrifice for her, honestly. I think she ended up being happy, especially when, you know, I think it's Lottie on the plane telling her, you know, just breathe, like this is a good thing. It just, it's hungry. Just let it, just accept it. And she kind of does. So I took that as kind of a, this is a good thing for Natalie, that kind of her character just completely flipped, basically. Maybe not a good thing, but
this was a perfectly missed opportunity to include the cabin daddy guy from the end of season one, that plot line just kind of got dropped. So I'm a little annoyed about that. I said that was like my one thing I wanted them to just slightly address this season. And now the fact that you can see that it doesn't play any part in them actually crossing over to death, at least for Nat, adult Nat, I don't even know how you can write that in an interesting way in the past anymore. So like, I feel like almost that plot line is not going to ever be satisfying for me now at this point, because it's another death that we see. And the whole idea was that Jackie saw this embodiment of the wilderness as she was passing over. And if we don't get that in the future, then...
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a leap to say that Cabin Daddy was the embodiment of the wilderness. You could also make the argument she didn't see Laura Lee in her adult NDE. She didn't see Jackie either. So I'm along the lines that that's probably like geographically tied, like there's some Bly Manor aspect to it. And I think that's overly pessimistic to say there's no way they can write that in an interesting way. I completely disagree.
Okay. I mean, I'm still disappointed they didn't give us anything this season.
Could have been a dropped plot, but we know there's going to be definitely a season three and hopefully like a 4 or 5. So, I mean, we got plenty of time to address that. I'm thinking they didn't even want to open that can of worms, because that would have, they would have had to bring Ella Purnell back. They would have had to pay Cabin Daddy. It's just like, yo, we'll pick that storyline up when more people cross over in the actual 90s timeline.
I don't like that excuse, but I like I like how you said that it was probably the location of geographic. Like that would make sense, because especially if the Cabin Daddy guy was like the skeleton in the attic, it like I don't know how that would connect again, but I think the geographic location is definitely a good thing for like that helps me feel better about it.
Well, I gave you an explanation from the showrunner standpoint and the narrative standpoint, so we're covered. It's gonna be great. Gonna be great.
All right, so we're in purgatory, and Javi shows up. Like Dave said, she's resisting. It was kind of shocking to me, especially on the rewatch. Nat was almost gonna kill herself. She's lived such a like a dark life. To me, she knowingly sacrificed herself. I get it. You're dying. You, no one actually ever wants to die. You want to come back. But Nat was really resisting it, which was shocking just to me. But young Nat comes and says, this is exactly where we belong. We've been here for years, which is so sad. Like she's just been in a purgatory of her own for 25 years. Devastating. Then young Lottie comes and seals the deal. And she says, it's not evil. Just hungry like us. Let it in.
I think these were just the three most important people that, you know, led to her descent into becoming the Antler Queen. Like obviously Javi with, you know, having sacrificed or, you know, having killed him over herself, and then Lottie giving her the reins as leader, and young Nat. Herself, just young Nat herself is, I think those three, it makes sense that why she would be seeing those three people as she was approaching her final bout with the wilderness, I guess.
Just want to clarify something. Is it correct for us to start referring to Nat as the Antler Queen? Did she get crowned this episode in the 90s and still up to the 2021?
I think I've only been saying that just to make it a little bit easier for my explanations. I don't necessarily know if she is going to be the Antler Queen, but that's just how I took it, is that Lottie was the Antler Queen and now Nat is the Antler Queen. And I've kind of been saying on the podcast for the past couple episodes that I think we all are kind of in this boat, that we think that there are going to be multiple Antler Queens. And I think this is just the beginning of the first transition of the first person becoming the Antler Queen.
Yeah, I'm not completely off the idea that the Antler Queen isn't any of them. And it's just kind of this embodiment of something else, too. So
definitely that.
We'll just call Nat the leader for now.
Yeah,
say she's the leader.
Yeah, I probably should have been saying leader rather than Antler Queen,
because we were
less confusing.
Convinced it was Lottie for at least, I don't know, 13 episodes of this show and how it's like we're talking about it like that didn't happen. So who knows?
Yeah. But to watch Nat get queened wilderness girly, deemed wilderness girly, whatever, and then die in the same episode is really devastating. Like, what a big episode for Nat as a character, but in two completely separate ways. Like you said earlier, we're not going to get adult her really anymore, but she is going to be such a big part of season three. So it's nice. It's kind of an easy cop out for when the adult version dies and you still get the young one. Mm-hmm. It's a good way for the character to still be there, but the obviously the older actress isn't. But I like same with Travis, same with multiple people. So I like it. It's good for me.
Now that you mentioned what, Travis, I feel like he could have been on the plane too. I'm surprised he wouldn't have been on the plane either.
I predict, like when we were watching it, I saw Tavi on the left. I was like, it's got to be Travis on the right. I was just dead wrong.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. And then I was saying earlier that Natalie and Kevin were going to have a place in heaven. It's got to be Natalie and Travis, right?
Yeah.
Not Kevin. I completely forgot about that. Travis had left my mind for a second, but Nat's having three ways all day.
Good for them. So now we're just kind of at where are we leaving everybody. So Lottie's going away for a while. Ty and Van said they're going to go check in on her. They framed Nat as an overdose. So that's just done and done with her history. I guess that's okay. I'm not sure what they did about the gunshot wound on Lottie. Like I said,
could they have just like thrown her under the bus and be like, look, she was having a manic episode. She was trying to kill all of us. She shot herself by accident. Like
it's all about whose gun is that, though?
Again, I'm just
the guy from the carjacking.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm still just trying to play devil's advocate here. I still have minor complaints about that. They wouldn't investigate it as well. I'm just trying to make it feel better for myself.
It probably makes it better that it was that gun because it would be very difficult to trace that gun to like anybody in particular. And the cops are probably none the wiser that it went from a carjacker through Cali to wherever it ended up. So they could probably easily explain it away. I don't know. I'm trying to tighten up some plot holes.
I don't think so, because it's going to be like, first of all, who shot it? And then, okay, where's the gun? And if you don't produce a gun... Yeah, it may be one of those guns that are just like off the black market. Like there is no owner to it. It's like just like a scrub.
I guess what I meant, it would be easier to say Lottie shot herself with this nondescript gun than say, Kevin's police issued gun. Like that's obviously like, why was Lottie having the police gun?
Yeah. And she says the wilderness is pleased with us and looks at Van and said, you'll see.
Ooh. Cancer free, baby. The big C's gone.
I think this is as good a time to rip like the theory that I've kind of been cooking up. So Lottie in the 90s says that I was kind of chosen as the de facto leader initially because I was the only one who knew how to hear the wilderness or was willing to listen and hear it out. Now all of us are hearing it. So like, it doesn't need me specifically anymore. Is it possible that that cycle is just replaying in the 2020s? It's been so long. All of them just kind of forgot or repressed the wilderness's influence so much that the wilderness was forced to once again go through Lottie as the medium to try and just like get its foot in the door for all these girls. And that's why she's kind of descending into madness. But at the same time, I feel like there is a supernatural influence at play. So when she's in the latter stages of this episode, like, oh, the wilderness is here. I can feel it. I can feel it. Like, it probably was there. She probably was feeling it. I don't think that's insanity. I think that's what everybody's been going through. And to tie this kind of like into a nice little bow, Nat is no longer here to be like the actual leader, whatever. Is Van going to be our quote unquote leader?
So that's what I was just about to
comment. She's been like grabbing all of these situations by the scruff of the neck, and they've been alluding to it in like the conversation that was seemed like 2 minutes of screen time between her and Ty in the 90s, where Van was just like, what is my purpose here? Like, why have I been saved so many times? I feel like we're all on the same page. She's not dying of cancer at this point. I think this is where we're going. Van might be the new leader.
I'll back you up too with how when Lottie was giving that speech of, you know, it's been in all of us. Shauna was there when you killed your lover. Van, it was literally just in you while we were doing this chase. Like,
for sure.
You just were embodying it. It was inside of you. So I'm with you. I think Van is going to be the quote unquote leader coming up in the next season.
And I mean, being cured of terminal cancer is probably the biggest thing that would make you buy in
into
with no arguments. Okay, I believe I'm in.
Yep.
I really like that. That's a clippable moment right there.
Yeah.
Hey,
I like
it,
the
baby.
Whole theory. No, it could totally be, because Lottie never gave up. Like, we saw even before all the girls came back and got pulled to the compound together, she was still full in. Like, the symbol of the compound was the symbol. So it's like she was always sitting there listening to the forest. We saw it earlier this season. She did a little blood cut on her hand and like gave it to the altar outside of the compound. Like, she was always listening. And I think that was the point, is like the girls were getting pulled here. And now it plays into Thaisa's Lady in the Tree version wanting them, like her and Van, to go to the, you remember when she like talks to Van, like, this isn't where we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That kind of is, does that mean that the Lady in the Tree is also on team, like, we got to listen to the wilderness, or is
I think
it,
so.
Yeah.
Like, there's something there that can,
well, that would be even more that Van's going to be the leader. Lady in the Tree knew that Van specifically had to get there. She was very important for it.
Yeah,
that's, I'm sold on it.
Sounds like a good path forward, honestly, to make 2021 cool. A really,
and I don't
want to
call, like, and earlier I was calling Van potentially a new villain. I don't want to say villain, but I think how you're describing it is exactly perfect. Like, she'll be the new Lottie, which, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, sure, we'll still see.
All right. Walter handled the Adam Martin stuff. Good stuff there. Missy tells him about killing Nat. They have a good hug. Cute. Again, Shauna and Callie, we already kind of talked about it, but her, Shauna, and Jeff are together now. And the Cuse is acting his ass off about Kevin. He is giving us some tears.
Drink a cup of those tears, man.
Yeah.
Suck it, Cuse.
And that's really the end. The episode ends with the house burning down, right? So that's a more climactic end than just the Cuse acting his ass off. But you know how it goes. So, I mean, just final thoughts and any more, parting shots on what's going to happen in season 3, or?
It's impossible to predict anything in this show. Overall, though, I'll just reiterate again, this show is incredible. And it upsets me that the entire world can't enjoy it like we have been, like all the complaints and everything. I just feel like this show has been doing such a great job for giving us such little information constantly. Like, it's just, we're literally inching our way to that ending. And I think they're doing a fantastic job. The actors have been phenomenal. The soundtrack, the music has been one of the best in any TV show ever. Like, the show is perfect for us. And we're going to keep covering it. And so if you like Yellow Jackets, please hang around. If you don't, get the fuck out.
Yeah, one of the best shows I've watched in recent memory. I just fell in love with it like something else. And it, like, us getting to do a whole podcast on season 1 right into season 2 premiering.
Yeah,
like, these
nice
last couple months have been just absolutely a joy. I feel like our energies are all similar about like feeling the right things at the right time. We're all kind of always pretty much in agreement besides B-Tom's left temporarily. About
now that he's not here.
Hasn't bitched one time this episode, though, so we'll see what he says when he comes back. But
like, it's changed our lives. Like, the amount of times, like, we're just out at the bar and we're just like, it's so good. I can't get enough of it.
All-time theme song.
Yeah.
Like Luke said, though, we'll get it in 2029 when this all results, the writer's shit resolves itself.
Brian, parting shot?
Parting shot. I don't know. This is the first time I'm going to have to wait for more new content of this show. So I'm not looking forward to that. But season 2, I don't know. There's understandably a lot of discourse about it, but I thought it was such a strong season, consistent with the quality of season 1. I think they left a lot of open-ended plot lines that I'm genuinely interested to have resolved and learn more about. And yeah, the wait is going to be unbearable because I just really love this show.
Agreed. Yeah, this is a favorite for me. But to be fair, you know, this is a lot.
They're
in the wilderness and just in. I guess this isn't like too grueling of a shoot, because I was going to give them props. So it aired in late fall, maybe November of 2021, and ended in January of 2022. Got renewed and was already putting out new episodes end of March. So they're like a year turnaround time. So yes, there is the strike happening, but they are quick in general. It's not like a Thrones where it's like it takes 2 or 3 years to launch a season. Yeah. I believe in them. I don't want them to rush it, but I believe in them. So do your thing, pay them up and we'll be good. But yeah, I love season 2. Maybe we'll do another group one because Kyle and Jimmy also watch the show. Of course, they've been on Yellow Jackets episode, so maybe we'll do one big, like, just fuck around episode where we talk about thoughts and funny things and theories and stuff.
That'd be fun, yeah.
But, like I said, go follow Bingetown TV because that's where all of our main content is. So any show we ever post goes on there. And we have some separate feeds as well, like the Buzztown TV is our Yellow Jackets one. We have a Succession feed, but it also gets fed through that. And then Silo. So if you're not watching Silo, now's the time to catch up. Apple TV, brand new show based off of a book or a book series. So you know it's going to be good. At least they have the content to base it off of. Really good. We have coverage of that going on right now. And then we're just going to be doing some fun episodes for a little bit. We're going to be doing pitch towns, which is when our friends bring us a pilot of a show. Some people have seen it, some people haven't. And then we talk at the end and decide, are we going to binge it? Are we going to leave it alone, or are we going to add it to the list? So we do a lot of fun stuff. We're just waiting for new shows to come down the pipe. Of course, we've got The Witcher, which is the end of June, maybe. And we got True Detective sometime this year, which we'll cover. But for now, we're just going to be doing some fun episodes and we'll just be cranking out content like always. So I completely forgot. MVP and buzzkill of the episode. I was like, what is going on? Anyway. Okay, I'm not going to start. I don't deserve to start. Somebody else start. Give us
I think I've been sitting backseat, so I'd like to go first. I'll take the easy one, the nice home run here for the MVP, Walter. Yep, Luke's disappointed because I know he wanted that one. I don't really need to say anything about that. That's just a clear MVP right there. Biggest buzzkill, I'm going to go with Van. I'll go with
which
old
one?
Both fans, honestly. I'll pick one just in case someone wants to do others. So I'll do old Van. She was about to kill Shauna. I think she was just really into the hunt and everything. She was just not for our team. So I'll give old Van the buzzkill of the episode.
Okay, I was last episode, so I'll go next. Obviously Walter was the MVP, but I'll take my second choice here. I'm gonna take young Nat just because this is just from like an acting standpoint. I thought she was just amazing the entire episode. And she's one of my favorite characters. It's been a while since I picked her. So it's only right that she gets it on her send off episode. So young Nat will be my MVP. And then my buzzkill is actually going to be Lottie, older Lottie, because she was so manic. This like how she was portraying just embodying all the wilderness in the modern day hit me. It came out of nowhere for me. Like she felt like a whole different like shift in character tone here. And then that God is good song, like she deserves it just for that buzzkill.
I'm going to go with an MVP. Walter was my number one. Absolutely. But behind him, I'll go Travis just because I feel like he hasn't had that many like standout great episodes, and this was definitely one of them. I think he did a great job just reacting, showing the raw emotions that somebody would have when presented with your brother being just carried in by feral soccer players. So that was pretty great. And then my buzzkill is going to be Lisa.
Oh, damn. That was
Lottie long. Told you to stay in your house. And find if you business. Did, Nat would still be here. I don't know why you were putting your nose in these Yellow Jackets business, why you thought you should be in the woods that time. Magic is afoot. God is alive. Lisa, you didn't have to be there, girl. Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with her next season, because I do feel like she should come back because she played such a big role in this season. But yeah, unfortunately, she's leaving season two as my buzzkill.
Yeah, that was mine. Fucking mind your business. But so my MVP is going to be older Nat. It's the last time we'll be able to give it to her, probably. So I'll give it to her. You know, she sacrificed herself. She didn't want to see one more person die in a show where we have yet to see how many people they kill off and eat and stuff. It's probably the best thing she could have done. Mm-hmm. Although I will miss her. I really liked old Nat as a character. I thought she was funny as shit. I was big into her. And she was just a complex character, which was, she was well written, but I'll miss her. So my LVP, if it's not all the ones you said, I'm going to give it to the Qs because fuck that guy. And he got what he deserved, and fuck that guy. So that's that.
You just right. love saying LVP instead of buzzkill, don't you?
Did I say it again?
It's a bit, Kathleen.
That's my fault.
Came up with buzzkill too, and I never say it.
I think it's because I've also said LVP like a few times. So it's just like you're split.
We used to do that for House of the Dragon, MVP, LVP too. Okay, now, if you like what you heard after I fucked it up, go give us a follow at Bingetown TV, Twitter, Instagram. We've got YouTube, Bingetown TV, youtube.com/Bingetown TV. You can see our beautiful faces on mostly all the shows we cover. And then you know, smash the subscribe button. If you want to know what's coming down the pipe, that's the best way to do it on all of them. So if you're listening to Buzztown, smash that. If you're listening, if you're not, go follow on Bingetown TV as well. And that was the season two finale. We're sad, but, you know, we'll be buzzing until it comes out
and
next.
Wind it up.
All right. We are Bingetown TV. Thanks for listening.
Buzz, 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 buzz.
God is good.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.